He's a Christian. And he's probably going to be killed because of it. He's in Rome. 24/7, he's bound to one of Roman's elite soldiers. He's in jail, remember, because of his faith. Because he's a Christian. Because he's talking about Jesus. He's not in jail because he stole a car. He's not in jail because he robbed a bank or he shot someone or he was selling meth on the corner. He's in jail because of his faith. Anybody in here ever been imprisoned because of their faith? You can't say that everywhere because some people are. We experience opposition, not persecution. We get teased by our families, not beheaded. We get reprimanded at work, but we don't get executed. We get ridiculed by friends, but there's no honor killings in the United States of America. You can't say that everywhere around the world. Paul's imprisonment has not hindered the spread of the gospel in any way. That's kind of like an awesome statement. That Paul's imprisonment has not hindered the spread of the gospel, right? See, it's kind of like it does my heart good. Like the church goes merrily on without me. Right? Because succession is a direction. Discipleship means others carry on the work. The body functions effectively. And the body's functioning effectively. And Paul is imprisoned because he's an effective leader and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul, even in his personal imprisonment, other doors are opening that would never have been opened. Those doors would have remained closed. God is still at work in Paul's life. See, you can't bind up the Holy Spirit. That's like trying to handcuff the wind. You can't do that. It doesn't work. And Roman soldiers that would otherwise have never heard are hearing about Jesus. The emperor's own elite special troops are hearing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Christians in Rome, they're even getting more involved in the spreading of the word. And many take their faith with them wherever they go, wherever they're chased to, wherever they're oppressed and persecuted. They run to somewhere else and they take their faith with them. Do you take your faith everywhere you go? Or do you check it at the door sometimes because of where you're going? Or do you take your faith everywhere that you go? You know, for several months, Melinda and I tried this thing called Blue Apron. You know, you ever heard of Blue Apron or something like HelloFresh or Aprons? I think Publix does something called Aprons. For several months, we order a meal, and it comes and gets delivered to us with all the ingredients, right? And we're cooking Japanese. We don't cook Japanese. We're cooking Mediterranean stuff. We don't cook Mediterranean stuff. Middle Eastern things. We're cooking American foods, slicing and dicing and boiling all together. It was, you know, fairly simple. But it was nice, and it was actually kind of fun to prepare those meals together. We cooked things that we never could or we never would probably even think of to try to do. It was nice that everything was just kind of included, and you just followed the recipe step by step. Well, this passage of Scripture, it's kind of like a recipe. It's kind of like contains some recipe ingredients for life, for recipes for action. Recipes for your thoughts and for your prayer life. So some of the things that we'll go through are kind of based on the Christian Missionary Alliance value that we're looking at this week. Last week, we talked about the value of the Christian Missionary Alliance, that lost people matter to God. And does what matters to God matter to you? Lost people matter to God. This week, we're talking about prayer is the primary work of God's people. That's your next slide. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. This particular recipe, if you want to say it that way, offers a lot of different kind of flavors. Taken in the proper kind of measurements, dash of this, a hint of that, maybe a heaping moundful of others. It kind of depends on where you want to go with the recipe, like add to taste, right? So if somebody's crying out, you know, Lord, help me, is that a prayer? If someone's saying, you know, God, you got to get me out of this mess, it's prayer, isn't it? If you're seeking, desiring, yearning, longing after God, drawing you, thinking, contemplation, is that prayer? See, now you get to kind of personalize the recipe a little bit to your own liking, right? What ingredient you might need a little more of, what you might add to your seeking, what you might add to your desires of prayer, what you might add to you in your worship, your petitions even, what those might look like. But I know this for certain. We all are going to need some basic ingredients. We just need some basic ingredients. The measurement amounts might be a little bit left up to you. More of this, and not so much of that, but more of that. And some people really love worship, man. They just want to be in the music and sing and clap their hands. And, you know, in-depth Bible study at a three-hour conference is not their thing. Other people love, give me the Latin definition of the word sanctification with its Greek subtitle. You know, some are into that. So it's kind of like, where are you going with that? But some of the basic premise is right out of the first words in our text. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. Rejoice. What does that even mean? Rejoice. What does that even mean? It means praise. There's your first one. It's a praise. It's adulation, right? That's your first slide. Praise is an expression of our love towards God. Praise is an expression of your admiration and your love towards God. Look, is anybody on this side of the church love God? Let me hear, praise Him.
Praise Him.
Oh, no, is anybody on this side of the church love God? Let me hear, praise Him.
Praise Him.
Oh, how about right down here? Anybody in the middle there that praise God, they love God? Let me hear, praise Him.
Praise Him.
Does this church love God? Let me hear, praise Him.
Praise Him.
Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening. Praise Him throughout all the night. Praise Him in the parking lot. Praise Him at work. Praise Him when you don't feel good. Praise Him when you do feel good. Praise Him when your kids are good. Praise Him when your kids are bad. Praise Him when you don't have enough money at the end of the month. Praise God you got shoes on your feet. Praise Him you got feet. Praise Him there's a doctor that can give you meds. Praise Him. Praise Him always. I love to praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
And then so. I don't always relate my circumstances to praising God. Yet in the circumstance, I yet praise Him. It's difficult to praise Him for the circumstance, but I can praise Him in the circumstance. See, this is a part of the recipe that adds the lift to your spirit. It adds it's the yeast that gives you the rise. It's that part that gives you the substance to your prayer that overcomes the circumstance with praise, with thanksgiving, giving your requests unto the Lord. This is the part that balances out all the negativity going on in your brain, all the negativity in the world. This is the part that weeds out the darkness and the pessimism. Rejoice in the Lord always. You know, the Lord is near. Praise will pull you through every trial and into victory. Praise pulls you out of the humdrums of this world. Rejoice elevates you above the circumstance. Praise changes the mood of your heart. Rejoicing changes your attitude. Many of you need a change of attitude. And might I ask or suggest a recipe that includes an ingredient you might want to rejoice in the Lord? Anybody feeling kind of sad? Well, put on some praise music. Before long, you're dancing around the house and cleaning the house and doing the dishes, and you've altered and changed your whole attitude. You have the power to influence yourself. But you're going to need the recipe. You're going to need to add the ingredients into your life. Every day in this world is a circumstance. Every day. Every day we need to rejoice in His presence. Every day there's reason to be sad. Every day there's reason to be depressed. Every day there's reason to feel hopeless. Every day is a challenge to your faithfulness to rejoice, to sing His praises, to glorify His name. Now, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Do you think that passage is a suggestion or a command? And how are you going to treat it? How are you going to treat it? You get to decide the amount of ingredient that you want to add. For certain, he tells us to rejoice. There's no question whether you think that's a command or a good suggestion. He tells us rejoice, praise, exalt, honor, worship me. See, and this brings the Holy Spirit to the forefront. You bring faith to the forefront. You bring trust to the forefront. You bring confidence to the forefront. God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. God inhabits the praises of his people. You feel that God is absent? Praise him. You feel like God's distant? He's somewhere out there. He hasn't related to you in a while? Praise him. Rejoice in the Lord. You feel God has forgotten you and abandoned you? Rejoice within him and praise him, and you will discover God is near. And get ready. Get ready and watch what God will do. Watch what he does to your attitude. Watch what he does to your heart. Watch what he does to your eyes and the way in which you see things and view circumstances and view the world. You see things in a very Holy Spirit, spiritual way. Not the ways of the Republicans or the Democrats or the ways of Egyptians. You see the ways of God. And listen, you may not only inspire yourself, you might give someone else some hope and encouragement. Anybody ever walk into a room that's just filled with happiness and you're trying to make it sad, or are you joining in the happiness? Be careful. You have influence, not only over yourself, but those that might be around you. And isn't that amazing? You can inspire someone else with hope and encouragement, like your spouse, like your kids, like your coworkers, like the cashier at the grocery store that's having a bad day, and you've just got praise on your heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Now watch, the very next verse, let your gentleness be evident to all. So here's your next slide. Let me ask this question. Is your gentleness praise unto God? See, praise unto God isn't just, woo, hallelujah, praise be to God. Yeah, I can't wait to sing tomorrow. It's going to be so wonderful. We're hooting and hollering and running around the sanctuary and waving banners and singing and clapping our hands. You rejoice with your attitude. Your entire life is a rejoicing and a song unto God. You rejoice in the Lord when you are kind. You rejoice in the Lord when you're gentle. You bring honor and glory unto God when you show love to the unlovable, to the forgotten, for the disenfranchised, for the downtrodden. And there's the love of Christ in you, in you, in you, in you. Comes out. God's presence is abundant and clear. Whether you're in prison or not, whether you're persecuted or just oppressed, when you live your life rejoicing in the Lord always, it shows in everything you do and everywhere you go. It's irrelevant what the circumstance is. Faith floods your soul. Spiritual discernment is evident. Victory is at hand. Not even death can steal your rejoicing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Rejoicing in the Lord is paramount, right? It's one of those ingredients. You got to praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. You got to be bigger than your circumstance. But it says, pray. Let him hear your concern. Let him hear your desperate cries. Prayer is your next one, by the way. See, prayer is that communication with God. Your heartfelt expression directed toward God. That goes way beyond the worship and the hooting and hollering and the woo, now we're getting personal. It's great to approach God with praise in your actions and in your deeds. You influence yourself and many others around you. Do you know that your prayers delight the Lord? Your prayers delight the Lord. Have you ever felt like you're just annoying the Lord yet again with your issues and your problems and the same thing you've been talking about over and over and over? The Lord delights in your prayers. Maybe it's better to say it this way. You do not annoy God. You do not irritate God. You don't frighten him. You do not agitate him. See, God values the relationship that he has with you. It might be a good idea in the midst of prayer to not always be the one talking. That just like can rejoicing in the Lord be evident in your gentleness? Oh yeah, I rejoice in the Lord. Sing praises in my gentleness to God for others. Can you in the same light, right? Remain silent and be in prayer. Is prayer just you talking? Or is prayer you listening? Some of you might want to do more listening than talking. I'm just telling you. God values the relationship. Do not be anxious about anything. How do you do that? How do you do that? Not be anxious. Listen, I'm anxious and worried every week. Why? To stand here in this pulpit and look at all these eyeballs? And try to bring something of value and purpose and significance week after week after week after week. No one, right? You can see that there's, Lord, you've got to, how do you not be anxious? Do not be anxious about anything. Oh, wait a minute, here it is. In every situation by prayer and petition. You know when I'm most anxious about standing behind the pulpit? When I've prepared a message more than I've prayed. Did you get that? See, the relationship with God is paramount. The message comes out of the relationship. It's not get the message and then go find the relationship that might help me deliver this thing. No, you got it backwards. I see this across the country in pulpits everywhere. The relationship is valuable. The relationship with God, everything flows out of it. And if I spend time in prayer and spend time with God and bring my petitions and all my anxiousness about trying to deliver a message, about rejoice in the Lord always and being anxious about nothing, how do you do that? If I don't converse with the author and the creator of the words, it's just something I did. Do you get it? You want to be anxious? Here's your next slide. If you want to be anxious about nothing, pray about everything. Come on now, that's good. How do we do that? Right there. Oh, man, I'm sure anxious about my boss. Have you been praying about that? Man, I'm worried about my kids. You need to pray. You should pray. I'm stressed out about the operation that I'm going to be facing. You should pray about that. I don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Really, nobody does, but if you're anxious about it, perhaps you should pray about that. See, prayer is the primary work of God's people. And this is really kind of, it's an effective outreach as well. Because someone starts complaining, stressing out, you can see that they're anxious. Can I pray for you about that? Anybody stressed out? Nobody in here, because we're all by prayer and petition going before the Lord, so we're anxious about nothing. We're all good. It's just the rest of the world we're kind of, right, worried about and concerned about. So do you know somebody who's all stressed out, anxious all the time, sees the dark side of things? And then when you hear it, are you worried about that operation you're going to? Can I pray for you about that? See, you've just taken the circumstance, the physical circumstance, and brought it into a spiritual realm. You did that. Or did God leading you to do that? What an effective outreach. What an effective way to just offer someone some hope and some concern, you know, that you have concern for them. And how can I say it this? Can I say it this way? And it's not like, hey, I'm going to pray for you about that. I'm going to put you on the prayer chain. Pray right then and there, dear Lord, help my brother. Amen. Do you realize how effective and how powerful that is? You do something like that, you're going to rock their world. You're going to upset their world. You're going to bring things to a spiritual plane. And really, this is where God works his best in you and in them. For after all, God's plan is to be within you that you might go into all the world. Not just prayer on behalf of someone else. There's always that prayer for your own concern, your own stress, your own anxiety, your own worry. So, you know, get to work. Get to work. Because there's a lot of stuff in people's heads and people's brains. And I'm telling you, in an election year, there's more stuff coming. Get ready. Because this world would like nothing more than for you to think about this world. And God's saying, I've overcome this world. And if they hate me, they're going to hate you. What do you expect? There's no peace in this world. There's peace in my kingdom, right? We need to be in prayer for ourselves and, of course, for others, for the kingdom of God to advance. Now, listen, I want to try to get this to you if I can. There's something about prayer that is different from God's perspective than from yours. And if you can grab hold of this, it will serve you well. If you want to make prayer part of the recipe of your Christian life, not just for yourself, but for others as well that may come around you, then there's this part. There's this peace that comes. There's your next slide. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Which situation? Well, every situation, every circumstance. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving. It sounds like rejoicing and praise and with thanksgiving. You present your requests to God. And verse 7 is kind of a run-on. And. Do this and, right? And. And the peace of God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ. See, listen. Here's your next slide. This is kind of what I want to make sure that you get. This is not peace with God. This is the peace of God. Difference. The peace they're talking about is just not peace. They're talking about the peace with God or the peace of God. We have peace with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God is not irritated with you. God is not mad at you. God is not anxious for you. God has settled accounts with you. You are forgiven. You're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have peace with God, and God is at peace with you. Now, if you want some of the peace of God, how do you do that? That's what we're talking about. Is God at peace? Is God stressed out? Is God anxious about the government and who's going to be president? I think God is relaxed. I don't think he's anxious. I think he's probably steady and steadfast. See, and we need the peace of God that God has. His peace. I need some of that. Not a piece. I want the whole thing of peace, right? That peace. We need that. How about you having the power of God to be at peace in every circumstance? You have that power. How do I know you have that power? Well, anybody filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God himself has empowered you that you might know the peace of God. The only way you get the peace of God is when you have peace with God. And what are we walking in? A lot of people are walking in the peace with God. Oh, I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. I know I go to church every Sunday. I'm a good person. I take communion. But they have no peace of God. They're missing the relationship. They're missing some of the ingredients. They haven't added these things into their life. How about you? See, the prayer is not to get. The prayers that you're petitioning and praying are not so you get the answer you want. Your prayer is to eliminate the anxiousness within the circumstance that you find yourself. Are you with me? This is huge if you can grab hold of it. Lord, help me out of the mess. Well, God's not so worried about the outcome of the mess. He's going to turn all things that were meant for bad to the good anyway. He's not worried about that. You know what he's concerned about? You in the mess. You see it? Do you have the peace of God while you're in the mess? You're praying for the solution. You're praying for the outcome. He's saying, be at peace. Be anxious about nothing. Be at peace. He's not worried about whether, you know, you're going to make parole or not while you're in prison. He's worried about what's going on within you while you're in it. While you're in that mess. See, you bring your petitions before the Lord and we kind of look for an answer. We look for the outcome. And we bring our requests with thanksgiving before the Lord and we look for the answer. But the answer God gives isn't the answer that we think we should have. It isn't the answer that we even might want or even that we're looking for. The answer is his peace. He's already answered it. But you're anxious about the outcome. You're anxious about what's going to happen in the... He's already given you the solution. And you miss it. You miss it. You miss the entire peace of God that can be with you in the midst of a circumstance. You miss the entire opportunity of testimony. The answer is his peace. Be at peace. The answer is his reassurance. And the peace, this is amazing. The peace guards your heart. The answer guards your mind. Being at peace guards your heart and your mind, regardless of the outcome and regardless of the petitions and the things that you think ought to happen. I know you think you're praying for answers and outcomes, but God has already given you the solution to the mess. Be at peace. See, and prayer is a primary work of God's people, and prayer brings that peace. Prayer strengthens you and upholds you and guards your heart and guards your mind. So there's your next slide, the peace that God's talking about, that the scriptures are talking about, that transcends all understanding. What is that? and the peace that transcends all understanding. It's found in prayer. It's found in your personal relationship with God. Why does he want to guard your heart and mind? In every situation, he'd be saying, be at peace, trust me. In every circumstance, he would be saying, be at peace and trust me. Will you trust me? Will you have faith in me? Will you trust me? Will you believe in me? Right? Now watch. How does he guard my heart and guard my mind? Because the enemy would like nothing more than to distract you from the reality of the spiritual work that should be and is being done in your life. The enemy would like nothing more than to say, you're not at peace in this circumstance and in this situation. You didn't get the outcome that you wanted, did you? You didn't get the desired things that you thought you should get. God isn't even real. God just distracts you. Just distracts you. And if the enemy, listen, if the enemy can get you to question your peace with God, you start questioning your salvation. And if the enemy can get you to question the peace of God, you start questioning his presence. Do you know why your heart and mind need to be guarded? Be at peace. No anxiousness, no worries. This guards your heart and mind because the peace that transcends all the understanding will be yours. If you're busy thinking about the outcome, you're missing it. If you're busy thinking about the met, you're missing it. And the enemy's got you tricked. The enemy's got you thinking, your flesh has you going somewhere else, not spiritual. Your heart and mind are protected in the peace of God that is upon you, regardless of the outcome or the petition. That's the point. Did I cover that okay? That you might get that? Because it will change your prayer life. And it will change every circumstance and situation in which you find yourself either anxious or worried. I need the peace of God in this circumstance. Where is that found? Oh, prayer. The enemy will have you focused on all the things that God didn't do. Focused on yourself, your own wants, the missed opportunities, right, to be at peace. You missed all the confidence and the reassurance, and you missed his presence, and you missed the spiritual reality because your own imagination gets you moving in a place, and the enemy wants to try to trick you. Listen, his divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life. He's given us. Didn't I preach on this a few weeks ago? He's already given us all the ingredients, right? It was linguine. I was preaching about linguine. I have all the ingredients for linguine in my cupboard, right? But I don't use it, right? What good is it, right? So there it is. You have all the divine power he has given us, everything we need for a godly life through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and goodness. And through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them, through those great promises that he gives you, so that through them you may participate in his divine nature. That you have the peace of God, the peace that God has and holds, his steadfastness, his steadiness, his calmness, his perception, that you might have his and participate with his divine nature. Ready? And by doing so, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. There are spiritual battles taking place in every one of your lives, every moment and every day. And how are you dealing? How are you coping? Are you stressed? Are you anxious? Are you worried? Make sure that you're not fighting spiritual battles with worldly weapons. And here's one that I think you might like, because I have a tip for you. A tip. I'm going to give you a tip. Theory into practice. That's your tip, okay? If this was a pastoral seminar, I would say your theology into practice, right? A theory into practice. You ever heard practice makes perfect? You ever heard that one before? Practice makes perfect. A lot of people, right? Some people are perfecting gossip. Why? Because they do it a lot. Some people are perfecting foul language. Why? Because they do it a lot. Some people are perfecting lust and pornography. Why? Because they do it a lot. They practice it a lot, and practice makes them perfect. A lot of people are practicing fits of rage and greed and selfish ambitions. Why? Because they practice it a lot. Listen, practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. I like to practice my golf swing as often as I can. Right? I love to practice my golf swing as often as I can. I like to play the game. I like to go out. I'm no good at it. But listen, all my practicing, all my playing, I have perfected all my bad habits. It's really not even, it's almost like you're not trying to learn the game. You're trying to unlearn all the things that you've already taught yourself. How many of us are living like that spiritually? Let's stop talking about the things that we're going to do someday. And let's just do them. No, someday I know I'm going to curse less. No, just curse less. You know, someday I know I'm not going to complain as much as I do. Well, stop complaining. Just do it. Just do it. Someday I'm going to be a better Christian. Someday is here. Right? It's like the sign that you walk in, a free beer tomorrow. And you come back tomorrow, what's the sign say? Tomorrow never gets here. Someday I'm going to pray for others. Someday, yeah, someday. Someday's today. Someday's here. We need to practice, 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 practice. Listen, welcome to the practice field. Welcome to the practice field. If you can't find prayer among the people that come to the house of prayer, you're going to have a hard time out there. In fact, here's what I want to say to you. Don't leave church today without praying for someone. You know? Hey, can I practice on you? Dear Lord, help my friend Jeff in his day today. Amen. Hey, can I pray for you? Can I practice on you? Dear Lord, help Bev today in her walk with the Lord. Amen. I mean, if you could break the barriers and break the bondage and get over your fears and get over yourself. And start walking in the divine nature of God, you would see the power of God that works within you. And you see not just the peace with God, but you see the peace of God that dwells within you and how he moves among other people. You know what? In fact, I feel so strongly about this. I know some of you are going to hate me. You're not going to like me at all. But this is a safe place. This is a safe place. And so I want all of us to pray for someone. And I know some of you are shaking in your boots because you're deathly afraid. You've never even spoken a prayer out loud. You've been in bondage far too long. Time for some deliverance. Time for some spiritual movement in your life that comes from within you. That comes from within you. Because see, the easy scapegoat is, you know what? I'll put you on the prayer chain. I'll pray for you. And then you walk away. How easy is that? Today I'm challenging you. Today I'm challenging you. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. Pray for somebody. And the simplest way to do this is just like you greet people, right? Didn't we do a greeting? We did a greeting this morning, right? We did a greeting this morning. How are you? Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace of the Lord be with you. How are you doing? Dear Lord, help Phoebe today in her walk with the Lord. Amen. Amen. Can you do that? And listen, this is a safe place. It's not, you know, prayer in the house of God should not be awkward, should not be unfamiliar, and it should be not anything that you're unwilling to do. peace with God is already here. Let's move into a place where we can find the peace of God in all circumstances. And how is that found? In prayer. Okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask you to rise. We're going to take a few minutes. You don't have to like go all over the place. Just somebody that's near you, okay? Pray with them. Have them pray for you. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to guard your heart and your mind by guarding the door. Would you stand and pray, please? Stand and pray. I'll give you a few minutes to do this.